Welcome to Voicing Our Values, a series of podcasts about progressive message framing. This is the sixth segment entitled How to Talk About Primary and Secondary Education. I'm Bernie Horn, the Senior Director for Policy and Communications at the Public Leadership Institute, a nonpartisan nonprofit organization that seeks to help progressive lawmakers and advocates, particularly at the state and local levels of government. Please take some time to look around our website, www.publicleadershipinstitute.org. In addition to the Voicing Our Values messaging handbook, you'll find the Progressive Agenda, which contains hundreds of policy ideas and more than 150 model bills. Our handbook for policy advocates called Preparing to Win, and much more. Our last podcast, number 5, explained how to talk about consumer protection in a way to get around the problem of confirmation bias, explained in podcast 1. To persuade, you need to understand your audience's preconceptions and where you share common ground. To avoid triggering negative emotional reactions and confirmation bias, you must start from a point of agreement and provide voters with a bridge from their preconceptions to your solutions. Along the way, show that your policies are consistent with values that they already hold dear and explain how they benefit. All this is designed to remind your listeners over and over again that you are on their side. The question now is, how do we apply this when talking about progressive education policies? Universal access to education is essential to a democracy. This was fairly well understood by the middle of the 19th century, and by the turn of the 20th century, public schools were available to almost everyone, and by the 1950s and 60s, they were almost taken for granted. But no more, and progressives have quite a battle on their hands. Let's begin with a summary of the issue and then discuss timely examples. We told you in podcast 2 to begin any argument in agreement with your audience. But what do we mean when you're talking about education? How about this? We need public schools for our families and our communities that provide each and every child the opportunity to achieve their fullest potential in life. Now, who's going to disagree with that? That's a way to agree. And we've told you to use values, but what values apply to education? How about opportunity, equal opportunity, fairness, fair share, or to be very specific, the opportunity for each and every child? These are all values which Americans cherish. Talking about them keeps us in agreement with our audience. And what is our progressive vision for education? Something like this. Our public schools must provide each and every child the opportunity to achieve his or her fullest potential in life. Children are not standardized. Each one needs and deserves personalized instruction. That requires both fully qualified professional teachers and opportunities to learn outside of school. Every jurisdiction needs to, 1, provide adequate funding for public schools, 2, deliver instruction in a way that recognizes the differences in both interests and needs of specific children, 3, provide opportunities to learn outside of classroom time, including after-school, arts and recreation programs, and libraries, and 4, make schools a safe and fair environment for everyone. That's the generalities. Let's move to specifics. Public education is under attack from conservatives who are, in essence, promoting a corporate takeover of public schools. To push back, you need to understand where voters stand on K-12 education issues. First, on standardized testing, 64% of Americans believe, quote, there's too much emphasis on standardized testing in public schools, unquote. Only 26% think that there is the right amount of testing or not enough testing. 55% oppose linking teacher evaluations to students' standardized test scores. The public is simply not on the testing bandwagon. On charter schools and vouchers, nearly two-thirds express support for charter schools. Yet, surveys of parents show that what they want for their children is, quote, a good quality neighborhood public school, and that's 68%, much more than, quote, more choices of which schools I can send my children to, which is only 24%. Only 31% of Americans favor private school vouchers, so the great majority oppose them. On the issue of trusting teachers, 70% of Americans rate the honesty and ethical standards of teachers to be high or very high. The only professionals with a higher rating are nurses. Teachers are substantially more trusted than police, judges, and clergy, and are three times more trusted than lawyers, business executives, and news reporters. And obviously, very more trusted than politicians. On the quality of schools, when asked to grade schools, quote, A, B, C, D, or fail, only 21% say that public schools nationally deserve an A or B. Among the same Americans, 51% believes that public schools in their own communities deserve an A or B. And among Americans with a child in school, 72% would give their school an A or B. Because Americans like and trust their local schools and their local teachers, and because voters generally care more about how policies affect their own communities, you should lean heavily on arguments based on how an education policy will impact local schools and local school children. Here's a sample narrative. We need public schools for our families and our communities that provide each and every child the opportunity to reach their fullest potential in life. To accomplish that, we should recognize there are no standardized children. Every child has different strengths and weaknesses. That's why our schools must offer a complete curriculum provided by professional teachers who have the training to give the individualized attention every child needs. Now, why am I saying it that way? That narrative uses four strategies. One is to focus on the listener's own children and neighborhood schools rather than education in the abstract. Two is to indirectly push back against the overuse of standardized tests and teaching to the test by explicitly pointing out something that every parent knows. Every child is different and requires individualized attention. Number three, change the narrative about school quality measured by average test scores to a narrative about how well our schools provide each and every student the opportunity to learn and excel. And four, insist that only professional teachers, rather than amateurs or computer programs, have the knowledge and skills to do the job right. Now let's talk about some language. When speaking about education, do not say the nation's schools, high poverty schools, failing schools or failing teachers, the soft bigotry of low expectations, if you've heard that one, or student achievement. What you want to talk about is our children, local schools, schools in our community, the opportunity to learn, to succeed, against teaching to the test or one size fits all. Each and every child is different, is unique, is an individual, and professional teacher or the teaching profession. Why that language? The American value behind public education is equal opportunity for all. Instead of addressing the problem that too many children are denied an equal opportunity to learn, the right wing tries to exacerbate it with vouchers, as they call them, opportunity scholarships. Their strategy is to take advantage of the fact that Americans believe public schools outside of their own communities are failing, and instead of fixing them, offer vouchers to enable individual students to escape. The political goal of vouchers is to set some parents against others, particularly within communities of color. The right wing also appeals to Americans' fervent belief in the market system and urges that parents be treated as consumers and schools be run like corporations. But schools are not businesses, teachers are not factory workers, and students are most certainly not products for sale. After more than a decade of right-wing education policy, there's still no evidence that any of their proposals actually benefit schoolchildren. The major difference between the partisans on education is that progressives accept the responsibility for improving our public schools, while conservatives want to abandon them entirely. That's how we should distinguish our positions on public education. For example, say you're arguing against larger class sizes, okay? Say something like this: each and every child in our community deserves the opportunity to grow up and live a successful life. So every child needs excellent schools and professional teachers. Smaller class sizes help children learn because they allow teachers to spend more one-on-one time with each student, providing the individualized instruction they need. So why did I put it that way? I think you already know to some extent. Whatever your progressive solution, whether it's smaller class sizes, modernized school facilities and equipment, programs to attract and retain excellent teachers, a broader and richer curriculum, emphasize the underlying value of equal opportunity, and focus on what's best for each and every child, which our listeners visualize as their own child or their own grandchild. If your solution is to provide more resources for public schools, specify how you'd use the money. For art, music, science labs, technology, what every child needs to succeed. That is the key. Similarly, if you're opposing legislation that would drain resources from local public schools, emphasize that. For example, if you're speaking against spending taxpayer money for private school vouchers, you'd say it something like this: each and every child in our community deserves access to an excellent neighborhood public school, so that child has the opportunity to grow up and be successful in life. There's a proposal to spend your tax dollars on vouchers for private schools, which would mean less money to be spent on public schools. There's no credible study that shows vouchers improve student performance, so vouchers are neither wise nor fair. Why are we saying it that way? There are lots of statistics about vouchers, and you're welcome to use a few. But voters already overwhelmingly oppose vouchers if they come at the expense of public schools. So that's what you want to focus on. Finally, don't repeat the anti-teacher and anti-child message frames. They do not support progressive arguments. So don't say school reform or education reform. Don't say run schools like businesses or the achievement gap. What you want to say is each child deserves an excellent education, personalized instruction, an opportunity gap. Our nation's future is on the line. Progressives need to retake the moral high ground on public education. A little smart message framing can make the difference. In future podcasts, we'll show how to use our 5 basic rules of persuasion to debate many other issues. In the meantime, do us a favor and recommend the Voicing Our Values series of podcasts to your friends. Best to you.